David wrote it this way. He wrote in Psalm 32 that the light of God's forgiveness dawned on him in a dark place. He had hope in a weary land. The promise from the God who cannot lie that he would be forgiven. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, which is all we will look at. In the New King James, it says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression," literally rebellion. David said, "I defied God's rule." That's what that word means. His rebellion is forgiven. We saw last time, lifted up. The word for forgiveness means not just not think about it, but it's actually lifted up off of me. The rebellion that David committed that was crushing him, his defiance of God's rule, the Lord lifted off of him. That's the first element of his forgiveness. Whose sin, this word sin is specific. It's a specific missing the mark. It's shooting at something and not just kind of, but clearly missing the mark. He says, my sin, he says, I completely missed God's mark. And my sin of missing the mark, look what he says, is covered. The word covered speaks of this missing of the mark exposed me to God's wrath, and I'm now shielded from God's wrath. That's what he was singing about. Verse 2, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That word iniquity speaks of an intentional, warped ruining of something. It's kind of like leaving something out and it rains on the wonderful leather baseball mitt and it just gets ruined. Or leaving open your car and the storm comes in and it ruins something inside your car or your windows or whatever. It gets warped by the decision you made. Only it wasn't an accidental, it was an intentional one. He says, I am so thankful, verse 2, that the Lord does not impute iniquity to me. I have intentionally committed iniquity. I've intentionally warped and twisted my life by this bad choice. And he said, and the Lord has cleared out the debt I owe to him because it's his life that I warped. It's his name that I despoiled. And then he said, in whose spirit, the end of verse 2, is no deceit, nothing hidden in the secret places. Literally, we could translate this. In fact, when I was going through this and looking at all these Hebrew words, I wrote down literally what he's saying. If you just put everything I just said, he said, oh, the happiness of the man whose rebellion has been forgiven, whose record of failures has been erased. How happy is the man on whose account the Lord does not put his crookedness and in whose spirit is no hidden sin. And he was excited about that. And he wrote a song about that. And he said, oh, the blessedness of complete forgiveness, the miracle of complete forgiveness. David had been guilty of each of those sins in those first two verses. David had rebelled against God's law. David had failed to meet God's righteous standard, both as king and as a husband and as a man. He had failed on every count. David had yielded himself up to his crooked nature's control, and David had deceitfully covered the whole matter for over a year and paid the terrible price. But when he received God's complete forgiveness, it was so wonderful he began to sing about it. And he wrote this song down, the 32nd Psalm. For all who have ever lived that life of seeking the Lord and then failed. Total forgiveness is something to celebrate. It's beyond anything that positive thinking or therapy or hypnosis can provide. That's all our world, by the way, has to offer. For people that have failed and sinned grievously, they can say, oh, just think positively, forget it, or go through therapy or get hypnotized or shock therapy or something so you can kind of get it out of, and go on. But God's forgiveness is complete. God's forgiveness that he offers extends to both conscious and unconscious sins in our lives because God knows everything. And it's the blood of Jesus, the infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent Son of God. His blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and sin. Think about who is doing the cleansing and how much they know. And that's what the miracle of complete forgiveness is all about. Anyone can be forgiven no matter what their sin is, David reminds us. Whether they are the torturous commandant of some Nazi death camp, they could be forgiven. of all that. Or some serial murderous killer like a couple decades ago, John Wayne Gacy and all of his evil. Or whether the most immoral or even the most moral person in America, total forgiveness is possible, but only through Christ. And God's forgiveness is always based on sin's penalty being paid. Not this God who kind of overlooks it. God doesn't overlook sin. God only forgives what's been paid for. That's His righteous holiness that needs to be paid for by a proper sacrifice. The sad part in America today is that many Christians are depressed about their sins and failures. They operate under a false notion that God still remembers some or all of their sins against them, and they've forgotten the scriptures we read earlier. Do not forget that because God has taken our sins upon Himself, they are separated as far as the east is from the west. Don't ever forget that. When Satan tries to remind you of your sins, remind him back that God said, "I have removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west." Those who labor and depress themselves over their sins forget God's promise through Isaiah that one day He would wipe out our transgressions that are like a thick cloud and our sins that are like a heavy mist because He redeemed us. Often, believers forget what Revelation says. Revelation 13:8 reminds us that God looked down the corridors of time even before He made the earth, and He placed the sins of the world on the head of His Son, the Lamb of God. For He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And at Calvary, Jesus took the sins of all who would believe an eternal distance away from them. That's something that should be celebrated. At Calvary, Jesus took your sins, if you have believed in Him, an eternal distance away from you and from me. Believers who labor over their sins forget that hundreds of years before Calvary, Micah proclaimed that the Messiah's death would provide a way for complete forgiveness. As it says in Micah 7:18 and 19, "Who is like Thee, O God, who pardons iniquity, who passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of Thy possession? You do not retain Your anger forever, because You delight in unchanging love. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, You will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea." You'll cast them, as Isaiah said, where you can see them no more. Don't forget that Christ promised to never condemn us. When Jesus comes into our lives as Savior and Lord, He says what He said to the woman caught in the act of adultery in John 8 and verse 11, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go your way." And Paul added, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Because we continue to sin, we need the continued forgiveness of cleansing, but we do not need the continued forgiveness of redemption. There is a big difference. He redeemed us once and for all. We need constant cleansing because we continue to sin. But He has once and for all dealt with our sins. We don't need to be redeemed and redeemed and redeemed and redeemed and saved and saved and saved. We need to be cleansed when we sin. Jesus told Peter, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he's completely clean." John 13:10. Even though we continue to sin, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This doesn't mean we no longer sin, but when we do sin, we have no harmful effects that are eternal. Though sin profoundly affects our growth, it does not affect our destiny. There are no second-class Christians, no deprived citizens of God's kingdom or children in His family. Every sin of every believer is forgiven forever. That's the heritage of all who are in Christ. And that's what we celebrate. We confess, as one of the great saints of the past said, "The Bible is a corridor between two eternities down which walk the Christ of God. His invisible steps echo through the Old Testament, but we meet Him face to face in the New. It's through that Christ alone, crucified for me, that I have found forgiveness for sins and life eternal." The Old Testament is summed up in the words of Christ. The New Testament is summed up in the words of Jesus, the Christ. And the summary of the whole is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and has forever freed us from our sins.